Hello and welcome, all glory to God, for He is good, and He is our God, our Savior, and we get to look into the Word of God today, which is alive and powerful and so good. And so we praise God for each new day, for His mercy is new every morning. We give all glory to God, and we have our baby Pan right here joining in with us today as you guys tune in, and we know God never fails, and His love endureth forever. And so, praise God, for this is the day that the Lord has made, and we and I will rejoice and be glad in it. Today, we're going to be looking at choosing the righteous path, and it's going to be from 2 Kings chapter 18, verse 1 to 12. And we just saw the fall of Northern Kingdom and how they continued to reject the one true God. They continued to walk in their false ways, in ways that are against God. They continued to build their life upon the false ideologies. And so we welcome every one of you guys and encourage you to listen to the very end, because I know the Word of God is alive, it's powerful, and it is able to bring us into a better place. And so, welcome. And yes, I just launched a new podcast. Amen. So, we will be seeing this thing on podcast as well. Hello there. Hey, hey. Yes, I see you guys. Praise the Lord, Richmond. Hey there, guys. And so, let's read the Word of God, which is authoritative, which is sweet like honey, which is exciting, which is rich like gold and silver, which is so important for the nourishment of our body. Today, it's from 2 Kings chapter 18, verse 1 to 12. If you don't understand it, don't you worry, because Pastor Josh will make it nice and clear for each and every one of you guys. So in the third year of Hoshea, son of Elah, king of Israel, Hezekiah, son of Ahaz, king of Judah, began to reign, and he was only 25 years old when he became king, and he reigned in Jerusalem for 29 years. His mother's name was Abijah, daughter of Zechariah, and he did what was right in the eyes of the Lord, just as his father David had done. And he removed the high places, smashed the sacred stones, and cut down the Asherah poles, and he broke into pieces the bronze snake Moses had made. For up to that time, the Israelites have been burning incense to it, and it was called Nehushtan. Whoa! What did he do? He removed the high places, and he smashed the sacred stones, and cut down the Asherah poles. Who did that? Hoshea, son of Elah, king of Israel. Hezekiah, son of Ahaz, king of Judah, began to reign. Ooh, wow. So, it was a big sin that they would not stop holding on to the high places, and they would continue allowing Asherah poles and false idols and gods to continue to reign within the kingdom, even when they pointed others to the one true God, and even when they were worshiping one true God, and they still let the high places still distract them, still let other people sacrifice to false gods. So it sounds like he's really purifying the kingdom, and we praise God for that. Lynn's Gallery, you can ask a question. Yes. And so Hezekiah, he trusted in the Lord, the God of Israel, and there was no one like him among all the kings of Judah, either before him or after him. And he held fast to the Lord, and he did not cease to follow him. So he held fast to the Lord, held on to the Lord, clinged to God, Yahweh, instead of clinging to the world and the idols of the world. And so he kept the commands of the Lord that has been given to Moses. This is good things. And the Lord was with him, and he was successful. He was successful. He was prosperous. He was diligent in whatever he undertook. He rebelled against the king of Assyria and did not serve him. From watchtower to fortified city, he defeated the Philistines as far as Gaza and its territory. Gaza, same Gaza we know today. And then in King Hezekiah's his fourth year, which was the seventh year of Hoshea, the son of Elah, king of Israel, Shalmaneser, king of Assyria, marched against Samaria and laid siege to it. And at the end of 3 years, the Assyrians took it. So Samaria was captured. In Hezekiah's sixth year, which was the ninth year of Hoshea, king of Israel, and then the king of Assyria deported Israel to Assyria and settled them in Hala, in Gazan, and Harbor River, and in towns of the Medes. And this happened because they had not obeyed the Lord their God, but they violated his covenant, his agreement, his promise, his contingencies, and all that Moses, the servant, the Lord commanded. And they neither listened to the commands nor carried them out. Heavenly Father, I thank you for your word. I thank you for your love. I thank you for your goodness, for your mercy. And I thank you that you lead us towards the right way. Father, we pray that this live stream would be able to bless everyone here who hears your word, who comes across it, and who hears about Jesus as we spend Jesus time. Lord God, let your wisdom come out. Let your discernment come out. Let your wonders come out. Let us be equipped with your tool. Let us be a part of your story. Lord God, we thank you, and we don't take this for granted. So we praise you in all that we do, in all that we say, in all that we are. Lord God, we praise you. And so be glorified. In Jesus' name, amen. And so we can see in this passage how there is a good and righteous king. There's a good and righteous king in the southern kingdom, which was trying to destroy all the unrighteous gods, the disloyalty, and the things that were distracting people. He was trying to change something and to honor the one true God, which is great, fantastic. While we see in the northern kingdom, they fell to the Assyrians, which was a strong kingdom at that time, like the superpower of that time. And so when the northern kingdom of Israel fell to the Assyrians, a strong and godly king named Hezekiah was on the throne of Judah, and he was experienced, for he had already been ruling for about 7 years, and he was perhaps the strongest king to ever rule the southern kingdom of Judah. And once again, the Lord had looked after the Judean people, and he provided a strong and godly experienced ruler to guide them through the frightening days of the upheaval within the northern kingdom. And he was obviously a threat to their own survival, which was obviously a threat to their own survival. And for Hezekiah and his people, they were bound to be gripped by fear. The fear that Assyria might attack Judah next, that they might be the next kingdom that was captured. You see, the northern kingdom, they were 10 tribes of Israel, while the southern kingdom, Judah, was only 2. They were much smaller, but they still feared feared God. And Hezekiah and his people, they did not stand in fear. They stood in obedience to the one true God. Hello, Carmela Garcia. Welcome. But Hezekiah led the people to seek the Lord in prayer. And the Lord, miraculously, he delivered Judah from the terrorizing enemy. Wow. If this is helpful, type Jesus forever. Let me do something. Are you okay? We're okay. However, Even Hezekiah slipped into sin by giving in to the spirit of pride later on and boasting. Although he repented, God sent a prophet at that time, a very famous prophet, Isaiah, to pronounce the inevitable judgment and utter destruction of Jerusalem that was coming, all due to the sins of the rulers and people down through the centuries. And the fall of Samaria was in 722 BC, and Judah was to survive for an additional 135 years. But eventually, the trait of being inconsistent, double-minded, sometimes hot, and sometimes cold to the Lord, led to the fall of Jerusalem. And because of some serious illness, Hezekiah had to rule co-regent with his son Manasseh for a decade. And after Hezekiah's death, Manasseh, he rejected the godly example of his father and turned completely away from the Lord. And among all kings of Judah, Manasseh and his grandfather Ahaz were most wicked, brutal, and did more to bring the downfall of Judah than any other king. And then the persecution and slaughter of true believers had been horrifying. Persecution of true believers were terrifying. And so, although Manasseh surprisingly repented and turned back to the Lord in the latter years of his life, the damage to the nation has already been done, and the downward spiral into utter destruction had picked up speed. And upon the death of Manasseh, his evil son Amon succeeded him. So we're talking about what we're going to see in the next few days as we see the life of Judah continuing to grow or continue to shrink after the northern kingdom has gone down. And so he ruled for only 2 years before he was assassinated. But the verdict upon his reign is clearly pronounced by the Lord and the author. And Amon was guilty of evil life and rule. And he failed to use the 2 years of his reign to turn people back to God. And thus this downward spiral to destruction only picked up more steam. However, God was not done with Judah. Nah, he was still giving them one more chance to the people, to the nation, one more opportunity for them to turn back to the Lord permanently and to pass the torch of righteousness down to succeeding nations and generations. And this last chance was given to the ruler Josiah, the great grandson of Hezekiah. Of all the kings of Judah, he was apparently the most godly. But keep in mind this surprising, even shocking fact. During the entire 344 years of the divided kingdom, among all the kings of Israel and Judah, there were only 4 good and godly kings, and there were only 4 that were from Judah. And the northern kingdom of Israel never produced any good and righteous king. The 4 righteous kings in Judah was Asa, Jehoshaphat, Hezekiah, and Josiah. And among these 4, Hezekiah and Josiah were considered to have been the most godly because of the major reforms that they carried out, of the revival that they carried out within their city, within their kingdom. And however, the righteous and just reforms of one generation were not often passed down and carried on into the next generation, to the next generation, because that generational blessings were not passed down and carried down to the next generation. And the Lord, he knew this fact. For this very trait, they are so characterized in Judah's history. They have been inconsistent, double-minded, inconsistent. Consistency is key to anything if you want to build anything. Your life upon God, upon being sanctified, upon His firm foundation, you absolutely must be consistent in your ways of the Lord. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. He's speaking. and consistency is key, of getting 1% better every day, closer to God, in your knowledge in Him, 1% improvement every day. And that 1% will improve exponentially, will improve when you strive to improve 1% every day. Not linger, not be stagnant, not regress. So don't be inconsistent. Don't be double-minded. Give God your full heart. And consequently, the hand of God's judgment fell. And the people of Judah had been warned time and time again by the prophets. But they were stiff-necked, and they refused to heed God's word. And the result was that four successive evil kings took the throne of Judah, and each was either conquered or appointed by Egypt and Babylon. And all hope for the rulers and people of Judah was now gone during the reign of the last ruler, Zedekiah, the final invasion of Judah by Babylon, who captured the Assyrians, which was launched. And thereafter, the siege of Jerusalem began. And after living under the siege for 2 years and reaching the point of starvation and insanity, the city of Jerusalem, they collapsed. And because the people's inconsistent lives, their unrighteous and unjust ways, and their false worship, Israel fell to the Babylonian army in 586 BC, and people were enslaved and exiled into Babylon. And after centuries of possessing the promised land, God's people now lived either outside the land as exiles or tenants of their own grounds. And only one bright spot remained for the author to report, which was Jehoiachin, exiled in 597 BC, which is elevated to favor status of 560 BC. And David's lineage still exists, abet in Babylonian exile. The hope does remain. Whenever God chooses, people can return however He chooses, and the Davidic promise and kingdom can emerge. God is not weak. He's not powerless. He's not limited. He's not in exile. Therefore, all who turn to this sovereign Lord may also look to the strength, victory of going home to the promised land, which is in heaven, where there's no more sorrow, no more sickness, no more pain, no more disease, where there's perfection and the glory of God, where we get to enjoy the things of God and enjoy the peace, abundant peace that He gives us, the everlasting joy that He gives us. Amen. And so this is what we're going to be seeing, the last part of Judah, the fall of Judah, the southern kingdom, and their inconsistency, their disloyalty, and the ever-growing wickedness. And today we're looking at the first part, where a serious invasion of Judah was against the righteous reign of Hezekiah, a man who trusted and held fast to the Lord. And we will look closely into it. And so this is chapter 18 of 2 Kings, verse 1 to 12. And we can see a good king, how the righteous life of Hezekiah, a picture of a man totally, completely, wholeheartedly committed to the Lord. And his background was that he was 25 years old, and he reigned for 29 years. And then he was the son of King Ahaz and Abijah. And his spiritual commitment was that he lived a righteous life, just like David had. And he removed the high places, the false worship sites, and he destroyed the altars, image of false gods, Baal, the golden calves, and Asherah poles, and destroyed the bronze snake made by Moses, which became an idol, became a distraction to the people of Israel. And he trusted in the Lord more than all the kings of the southern kingdom before him or after him. And he held fast to the Lord. He was faithful all his life. He obeyed the commands of God, Ten Commandments, and the commands that were written by Moses. And so the blessings from God were poured out unto him and his kingdom and his family. And he was given God's presence. He was given success and stability and security and prosperity in all that he did. And he was given inner strength to encourage to resist the Assyrians, the oppression that they had against them. Assyrians took over Samaria, took over the northern kingdom of Israel, yet gave him the inner strength not to give in to them. And so they were given this military victory over the Philistines. And then the major crisis was that the fall of Israel, the northern kingdom of Israel, was that the Assyrians, they invaded and they laid siege to Samaria in the fourth year of Hezekiah's reign, which was a serious threat to Judah. If a country like Canada falls to another nation, then that would be a serious threat to the United States of America. And so that's why we need our border allies to be stable, to be strong, and not to fall. And so, by God's grace, we're still living in a time where it's pretty stable, pretty prosperous, and we don't have to worry so much about our next meal and stuff. But some people do. More and more people, it's getting harder and harder due to inflation. But we don't worry about that because we go to church, we go to God, we go to prayer, and we trust in him. Well, got sidetracked. And then the Assyrian king, he exiled all the Israelites and resettled them in Assyria. And the reason for Israel's fall was the disobedience of people, failing to obey God's commandments, failing to heed to him, failing to fear the Lord, one true God, which was a warning to Hezekiah and his people. Amen. I'm so glad you've shown up to my screen. Thank you, Rose White. Yeah. So let's see what reflections we can learn from here. These reflections are so important. And the first reflection that you should know and listen carefully to is to take drastic action. When the people of Judah, they strayed away from God and worshiped idols, Hezekiah, he still lives up to his responsibility as king and leads the people back to the Lord. He brought Jesus back into his own life. He brought Jesus back into his city, into his town, into his kingdom, into his nation of Judah. Hezekiah lived up to his responsibility as king to lead people towards the right direction, which is back to the Lord. And he takes drastic action, smashing idols, removing the places where there were false idols and gods that were being worshipped, where people were being tempted to turn to instead of the one true God. And he lives and becomes a model king of Judah, trusting God and holding fast to him, living a life wholly devoted to God, which is not always easy. When we become complacent or make wrong choices, we can often run away and drift away from the one true God. We can run to our worldly securities, like the things scrolling our life away, gaming our life away, binge-watching our life away. We can get bored and try doing the things of the world, which does not ultimately satisfy us. And so when we become complacent and make wrong choices, we can drift from the life that God has intended us for us. And sometimes drastic steps must be taken so that you can find your way back to Jesus. Back to him, our answer. Jesus is the answer. He is the way. He is the truth. And he is the life. And you must turn away from sin and choose the path of righteousness. Choose the path towards holiness. towards a sanctified life in Christ, choose the path that has a relationship with our one true God, and placing your hope and confidence in His blessings and His strength. This is the word of the Lord, which is so important to build you up, to grow you. And we do not need to depend on our own self. If we do, then we are limited. If we do, then we will experience how small, how shortcoming we are. But by the grace of God, we can see how God is more powerful, how God is stronger, how God is better, and we can place our hope, our confidence in God, in His blessings, in His protection, in His provision, in His wisdom, in His knowledge, in His guidance. For He is, the name of Jesus is like honey on our lips. The Spirit of God in us is like water to our soul. And the Word of God is a lamp to our feet. It guides our path. It guides our ways. And so take drastic actions to repent and turn to the one true God. Take action. Without action, faith is dead. Without action, then what is in here does not take place. Without action, then we can see that there will be lack of fruit. Action will produce fruit. And that's why what starts here, the Word of God, must come out as action in your mouth. If faith can move the mountains, how can it not move your mouth? Faith is voice activated. You speak the Word of God with clarity. You speak the Word of God to encourage others, to build each other up, to glorify God, to praise Him, to honor Him, to point people to the one true God. This is the first action in your mind. You're reading, you're studying the Word of God, which comes into your words, which becomes your actions, which becomes your habits, and your habits becomes your character, and your character determines your destiny. And that's why you must take drastic action and say yes to Jesus forever and walk in His ways each and every day, because Jesus is the best way, the best relationship that you can ever have. All glory to God. Amen. So don't drift from Him. Don't be complacent. Don't make wrong choices. And if you do, for all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. We all make mistakes and wrong choices. And so we must repent and turn to Him. Repent and trust in Him. Repent and walk in His ways and seek Him. And seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. For this is God's will for you in Christ.
Hello.
And so, turn to God today. Let this be a blessing for you. Walk in His ways. Grow in Him. In Jesus' name. Amen. Glory to God. Take drastic action. Wow. Good. God is good. All the time. And all the time, God is good. And then, the second thing that we need to know and need to hear is from disobedience to downfall. The concept, the law of being disobedient to God will lead to your downfall. Why are you disobedient? Why do you turn away from Him? Why don't you obey God? Why don't you walk in His ways? And a lot of people, they are encountering the sins of the world, the pride, the lust, the slothfulness, and they are saying, you know, I'm not going to follow Him. I'm going to follow in the ways of the world because it's going to satisfy me. And the lies of the world actually brings people temporary satisfaction or no satisfaction at all. And that satisfaction, yes, they get one high, but they fall. They chase the next high and they get there and they fall. And next time it doesn't get as high and they fall. Eventually, they can't even satisfy themselves anymore. Only God can satisfy us. And so that's why we must learn to be obedient. And so listen carefully. From disobedience to downfall, under the leadership of Hezekiah, the people of Judah did get rid of their idols and follow God. But under the leadership of Hoshea, the people of Israel, they violated the covenant with the Lord. They refused to obey his commands. And as a result, they faced consequences for their disobedience. And an enemy king of Assyria captures the city of Samaria and deports the people of Judah to Assyria. And we each have an opportunity each day to respond like Judah or Israel. We can root our idolatry out of our lives. We can uproot it. We can take it out, root out our idolatry from our lives and follow God. And we can refuse to, or we can refuse to listen to his commands and never carry them out. So you have a choice. You have the free will. God has created you to give you the opportunity to repent. He's done the hardest thing on that cross. And may you continue choosing obedience and experiencing the protection, the blessings around and found in following God rather than choosing your selfish ways, your deceitful desires. Follow in the ways of God and he will continue to come through for you. He's already come through for you by sending his one and only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, to save us from our sin. You have an opportunity today to turn to Jesus. We all sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. We all made mistakes. We deserve nothing. But God gave us everything. He gave us his Son, Jesus, to die on the cross for you. You see, the wages of sin is death. The wages of sin, the punishment, the consequence of sin that we all deserve is death. And that death is not just a physical death. That death is a spiritual death. You see, death, physical death, is the beginning of eternity. The beginning of eternity. And what you do on earth will determine where you end up for eternity. If you reject Jesus and say no to him and don't allow Jesus to be your Lord and Savior, don't allow him to cover you with his blood, then you will spend in eternity away from God, in separation from God. But if you accept Jesus as your Lord and Savior and follow and walk in his ways and say Jesus forever, then you will have eternal presence of God in your life, in heaven, in a place where there is no more pain, no more darkness, no more insecurity. It's the utmost stability in God's presence, in his glory, somewhere so, so good. Amen. So you must choose obedience rather than disobedience, because disobedience eventually goes towards a downfall. And we can see the downfall of disobedience of the kingdom of northern kingdom of Israel, and then eventually the southern kingdom of Judah. They were ruled by righteous kings, and then they were blessed. But when they had unrighteous kings who did not depend on the one true God, then that was the downfall. And so turn back to him today. Repent. Let him be your Lord, your Savior. You see, we all deserve that sin. The wages of sin is death. But God, he gave you a gift of eternal life through Jesus Christ, our Savior, our Messiah, who died on the cross for you and I. For God so loved the world that he sent his one and only begotten Son. Whoever shall believe in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. You believe, when you believe, then you will confess with your mouth that Jesus is your Lord, your Savior. And you will believe that God has raised him from the dead. You will believe that God has seated him on the right hand in heaven enthroned, and that Jesus will one day return. When you believe, then you will walk in his ways, trust in him, and believe in him, and love him, and have a relationship with him. But how do you do that? You do that through prayer, daily prayer, to pray continually, pray without ceasing. For this is your way, your access to heaven. Amen. And your way to heaven is through Jesus Christ. Jesus is the way. He is the truth, the life. There is no other way on earth that can get to heaven. You cannot work your way to heaven. You cannot buy your way to heaven. You cannot earn your way to heaven. No, it's not by works, but faith alone. And your works are byproducts of faith, which is good. You see, when you have faith and faith so strong in the Lord, then you will do as he commands. You will do as the Bible says. You will do as he wills. You say, not my will. You would submit it to God, your will to God, your desires to God, and say, but yours be done. God's will be done. Not my will, but yours be done. That's what Jesus did. That's what Jesus said in the Garden of Gethsemane. He said, not my will, but yours be done. He was obedient to the Heavenly Father to the very end. Likewise, we should be obedient to the Heavenly Father to the very end, for he has plans, great plans for us. His plans, his thoughts, his ways are higher than our plans, our thoughts, our ways. And so we must repent and turn to him each and every day. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 16 to 18, it says to rejoice always. Rejoice. Woo! Glory to God. Pray continually. Pray to him. And give thanks. Have a heart of gratitude. Give thanks in all circumstances, in the good, in the bad, giving thanks to God. Even when you are in shackles, in prison, you can still look to God and things above and not earthly things and say, praise the Lord, I'm still alive and preaching his name, because to live is Christ and to die is gain. Amen. And so we root ourselves in him and we praise him all the days of our life. When it seems like all is lost, it's so dark, it's so difficult, it's so stressful, we still turn to God and give thanks to him. You see, being a new parent, it could be sleepless night. It could be difficult. There may be confusions, but we still praise God. In all circumstances, in all difficulties, in all challenges, for the blessings that he's given us, for the gifts, the wonders that he's given us, for his protection, provision that he's given us. We give thanks to God for all things. Amen. And we never want to cease doing that. We never want to stop doing that. For this is God's will that we're living for. God's will through Christ, in Christ. So live in obedience in him. Live in obedience. In Jesus' name. Amen. Praise the Lord. All right, so we can see deep in this verse, in chapter 18, verse 1 of 2 Kings, when facing serious trials, how often has fear gripped your heart? Your knees buckled, your courage disappeared. How often have you been gripped with despair or felt utter discouragement when facing a temptation? How has your will to withstand ever collapsed? Have you ever given up? Yeah, keep going. Is it a sin to eat too much food? Well, you should know that food is good, because your body need nourishment. But if you overeat, like junk food, if you overeat things that are unhealthy. Did you not know that your body is a holy temple of the Lord? That means you must take care of your body. You must...
Oh, you're done.
Mm-hmm. Yes, the baby has finished his bottle. Glory to God. And so that's why you must take care of your body. Let me flip you. Oh, he's burping. Yeah. So, walk in righteousness. Strive to get better every day for God. Give him all own honor and glory and praise. How old is he? He is right now 5 weeks old, almost 6 weeks old. So glory to God. Amen. Amen. We're going to burp him. Yeah. So you want to watch out what you eat. You don't want to overeat. You want to watch your health. You want to be able to exercise every day and be able to be healthy for God. And so, did you allow your flesh to be aroused, your passion to run wild to the point where you can no longer resist or refuse? Stand tall. Hold fast to the Lord. Being a real man and woman is a great practical lesson of this scripture. And this is the story of Hezekiah, perhaps the greatest king who ruled the southern kingdom of Judah. And in God's sovereignty, he knew that a strong and righteous king would be needed to be on the throne of Judah right after the fall of Israel. After the fall of northern kingdom, the collapse under the assault of Assyria, after they were exiled and deported and taken away from their hometown and replaced by foreigners. Thus, that became Samaria, because the Jews, they married foreigners, and so they were known as the Samaritans, no longer fully 100% Jewish, but partially Jewish. And so, we can see God moved to turn the heart of Israel right after the northern kingdom collapsed. And then he moved the heart of a young man to the Lord. A young man was reared with one of the most ungodly environments imaginable. And although the godly reign of Hezekiah would not stop that tide of wickedness from flowing throughout Judah, it would significantly delay the hand of God's judgment from falling upon the southern kingdom. And so when Hezekiah brought back Yahweh into the kingdom, that delayed the hand of God's judgment upon the kingdom. God's judgment was coming, but it was delayed. And likewise, I believe the hand of God's judgment upon United States of America can be delayed when we bring Jesus back into our nation. We want to bring Jesus back. We want to bring Jesus back into, first, our family, into our city, into our country, our state. We want to bring Jesus back to the world. But that starts with, first, you. Bring Jesus back to your life, to my life, and then to your family. Because family is the nucleus of governance, government. In order to have a good government, you must have a good family structure, a father, a mother, and then children. You must have that structure that God has designed, the perfect structure of governance. Without that foundation, without the little blocks on the ground, the foundation upon God in our own life, in our family life, then all else, like school, like city, like state, all else will fall short, because we need God first in our life. And so this starts with you and I in obedience to God. And so Judah would not fall to Babylonian for over 100 years. And note this fact, after the fall of the northern kingdom, the southern kingdom of Judah is often given the ancient name of Israel. And this fact needs to be kept in mind as the remaining kings are studied. And this is the righteous reign of Hezekiah, part 1, that we see a serious invasion of Judah, a man who trusted and held fast to the Lord. When you're being attacked by the devil, when you're being attacked by the world, by the destruction, by your own flesh, who do you turn to? Do you hold fast to the Lord? Do you hold on and cling on to Jesus? Do you long after him? Do you trust in the Lord with all your heart, all your spirit, all you are? Do you submit in his ways? If you do, he will make your path straight. Amen. And so the righteous life of Hezekiah, a picture of a man devoted and committed to the Lord, was seen on the first 12 verses, which we will look at today. And tomorrow, we'll look at the invasion of Judah by the Assyrian king Sennacherib, a decision demanded to trust the power of man or of God. You have a choice. You have a choice. Amen. Praise God. Today's a good day. I know today I woke up really tired, but still, the show must continue, ladies and gentlemen. It must continue. Alright. Whoops. Sorry about that. Angela from Texas, good morning. Jennifer from Idaho, welcome, good morning. I'm so glad you're able to join me and be a part of this show, this devotion to God. Amen. And so, looking in this passage, if you did not understand the passage, Hezekiah, he assumed the throne in the third year of King Hoshea of Israel. He began his reign at just 25 years of age, and he reigned 29 years. And apparently, he spent 14 years of his reign as co-regent with his father Ahaz, and then 18 years alone, and another 11 years as co-regent with his son Manasseh. Considering that his father Ahaz was wicked, it's surprising that Hezekiah was making a deep, genuine commitment to the Lord. But he did, anyways. He did not let his father's sins continue through his veins. Instead, he turned to the Lord. He trusted in the Lord. And he also had one of the most successful reigns among all the kings of Judah and of Israel. And his mother was Abijah. Hello, amen. And the daughter of a man named Zechariah, who was the high priest of that time. And perhaps Zechariah was a godly man who had advised King Uzziah and served as a witness for the prophet Isaiah. And if so, Hezekiah's mother was probably a genuine believer who had a righteous influence upon him. Mm-hmm. And whatever the case, at some point in his life, Hezekiah made a deep spiritual commitment to the Lord and live a righteous life. Only four kings are said to have followed the godly example of David: Asa, Jehoshaphat, Josiah, and Hezekiah. Hezekiah, he launched a reformation throughout the nation that has been unmatched since the days of David and King Solomon. And significantly, he took action that has never before been taken by any other king. He aroused the courage to remove the high places. Even King Solomon failed to do that. And the false worship sites throughout the nation. And although he knew the worshippers of false gods would be disturbed and they might react for their own spiritual welfare, he destroyed the altars and images of false gods of Baal. He also destroyed the bronze snake, which has been made by Moses and preserved down through the years, because that has become an idol of worship that people were worshiping. And obviously, the bronze serpent had become such an object of reverence that eventually it was looked upon as a symbol or image of some god or idol, and perhaps even an object that was of God. And they started worshiping the gift from God instead of the giver of gift. We got to continue to worship the giver of the gift, which is Yahweh, God Himself, God Almighty, El Shaddai, God of more than enough, Jehovah Jireh. And note, He destroyed it. And then He stopped that idol worship of that bronze serpent. Whatever the case, so many people worshipped the bronze serpent that it was given a popular name, Nehushtan, which simply means bronze thing. And in that addition to destroying the worship centers and idols and false gods, Hezekiah carried out several other major reforms that were recorded in 2 Chronicles chapter 29 and 30. And these reforms included immediately opening and repairing the doors of the temple, immediately cleansing the temple, encouraging the priests to sanctify and set themselves apart for the Lord in rededication of their lives, and removing all rubbish and every defiling things from the temple, rededicating the temple to the Lord, reinstituting the regular services, and reinstituting the Passover and festival and feast of unleavened bread, reaching out to the entire nation, including the people of Northern Kingdom who had not been transplanted, who has not been reaching out to them. He challenged everyone to turn to the Lord, to join in the great celebration of the Passover and launching a genuine revival among the entire nation. Amen. So Hezekiah, he had a great and most unusual trust in the Lord. And scripture actually says that he trusted the Lord more than all the kings of Southern Kingdom. And no kings before him or after him has ever trusted the Lord as much as he did. And unlike some of the good kings who slipped back, they slipped back into sin and failure. Hezekiah, he held fast to the Lord and persevered to the very end of his life. And he was faithful in all of his life, seeking to obey the commandments of the Lord. Because Hezekiah, he had strong trust and faithfulness to the Lord. And the Lord poured out his blessings upon him. Above us, alas, the Lord was with Hezekiah. He was with him. And the Lord granted his presence as king, as the king walked and served day by day the one true God. And furthermore, the Lord granted success and prosperity in everything that Hezekiah undertook, filling him with inner strength that the Lord has given Hezekiah the courage to resist the opposition of Assyrians and to keep in mind that the Assyrians were the superpower. They were the world of that day, and that his father Ahaz had willingly subjected the nation of Judah to Assyria, which meant that they were paying an annual tribute or tax to Assyria, thus rebelling against the king of Assyria. The refusing to pay the tax took an enormous courage on Hezekiah's part, an inner strength seldom seen in rulers. A lot of people have difficulty standing up and giving up the addictions that they have in their life, the darkness that they have in their life. But Hezekiah, he stood strong in the Lord. And in battle after battle after battle, he defeated the Philistines as far as Gaza and its territory, demonstrating an enormous courage that could only arise from an infilling of God's strength. Hezekiah, he stood in stark contrast to the spirituality, weak and fearful leaders of the past. He stood in obedience to God. Amen? Amen. And so, when the northern kingdom of Israel fell under the Assyrian invasion, Hezekiah faced with dangerous crisis. And once Assyrians conquered Samaria, they would soon pose a very serious threat to Hezekiah and Judah. For this reason, the king and people must remember what happened to the northern kingdom. Because of their disobedience to the one true God, they have fallen. They were no longer protected. by the one true God. Amen. Welcome, Weston. Welcome. And the capital, Samaria, collapsed. And 3 years later, after 3 years of the siege of Assyria began, and when the Assyrian kings exiled the Israelites, they were scattering, transplanting them throughout Assyria. And this happened to the northern kingdom because of their disobedience to the Lord. They violated their covenant and promised to the Lord that they would keep his commandment. They refused to listen to God's commandments, and they refused to obey them. However, note that the scripture clearly states that the cause of Israel's collapse, which was their disobedience to God, turning to false gods, false idols, and not turning to the one true God. And these facts are being repeated over and over and over by the king, by the author of Kings. As a reminder to you and I, readers of this day, and future generations, a refusal to keep God's commandment will eventually bring judgment. So what can you learn from this? It's so good. You can learn something from this. So listen carefully, because this is going to be helpful. Something that can help you grow in your life. Amen. Hezekiah, his commitment to the Lord is a dynamic example for each and every one of us. Always remember where he came from. His roots, the most wicked family unimaginable. And his father, Ahaz, was one of the most wicked rulers who ever ruled in the southern kingdom. And furthermore, his mother was the daughter of a king who ruled in Israel. And his family was literally steeped in sinful and wicked behavior. Yet despite being surrounded by a world of evil, Hezekiah rejected a sinful life of his parents and surrounding. When he came to age, he turned to the Lord, making a deliberate decision to follow the Lord. And furthermore, throughout the years, he grew even closer to the Lord. He didn't backslide. He didn't grow farther from the Lord. And he didn't let pride take over his heart. Instead, he walked faithfully in the Lord to the very, very end. And he trusted God. And he loved God. And he was so close that he was said to have more trust in the Lord than any other rulers of the southern kingdom. And he was totally devoted to serving the Lord in a power of kingship. Serving the Lord as king. Whatever position you are in, you have the ability to serve the Lord. What a tremendous example to the people of generation, of his generation, and all generations after. Hezekiah's life stands as a challenge to you today to trust the Lord and to give your hearts to him. And he should believe that the Lord in the Lord and have faith in him. You should believe in the Lord. Have faith in him. Walk in his ways. Commit to him. Your Lord, your Savior. Amen. Praise God. Praise the Lord. God is good. And our hearts, our lives, should be completely devoted to him and committed to him. So listen to what the Word of God demands of you. Luke chapter 9, verse 23, it says, "And he was saying to them all, if anyone wishes to come after me," Jesus was saying to them all, if you wish to come after me, you must deny yourself. He must deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. His cross daily and follow me. Did you hear that? Jesus said, if you wish to follow me, come after me, then you must deny yourself and take up your cross daily and follow Jesus. Have Jesus time daily. Walk in his ways. Read his word each and every day. Build your life upon his firm foundation. Allow Jesus to be your Lord, your Savior. Allow Jesus to be the one that brings peace into your life. Amen. Amen. That was Luke chapter 9, verse 23. And then Luke chapter 14, verse 26 to 27. It says, if any man come to me, hate and hate not his father, his mother, his wife, children, and brethren and sisters, yes, his life also, he cannot be my disciple. Whoever does not bear the cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. You see, a lot of people, at that time, they wanted to be his disciple, but they could not give up their own parents' ideologies. They could not give up the worldly ideologies. They could not walk in the ways of Jesus because they were not willing to say, hey, my life is yours. My time is yours. My talent is yours. Everything I have, my efforts, my energy, it's yours, God. You have bought me with your blood. You have given me a chance to worship you, to have a relationship with you, to build my life upon your firm foundation. Amen. And so, we must bear our cross and come after him if you truly want to be a disciple of God, if you truly want to be in his presence, if you truly want to live your life upon his firm foundation. Amen. Acts chapter 8, verse 37. And Philip said, if you believe with all your heart, may you be baptized. And he also answered and said, I believe in Jesus Christ. I believe that he is the Son of God. Amen. So you be baptized. And baptism is crucial and key because that is a declaration of your faith in God. Your faith and that you can walk in him, commit to him all the days of your life. Your faith. Now, baptism is what happened to Jesus. Jesus was baptized before he began his ministry on earth. And then the heavens opened and a booming voice said, this is my son whom I love. And then the Spirit of God came down, descended on him with as a dove, white dove. Amen. Praise God. Iena says, you bring me peace. God brings you peace. Jesus is the one that brings us peace. And we glorify him all the days of our life. Amen. Romans chapter 6, verse 17 to 18. It says, But thanks to God, glory to God, that we were servants of sin. We were bondage of sin. We were slaves to sin. But having obeyed from our heart, God, woo, let me read it again. But thanks to be God, that though you were slave to sin, you became obedient from your heart, the form of teaching that you were committed, that you are freed from sin, you became slaves of the righteous. You're no longer slaves to sin. You're no longer slaves to the world, but you are slaves and servants of the righteousness. Amen. It's so much better. It's so much better to be clean and slaves to God than to the world. Because walking in the ways of the world, it's just gonna toss you here and there. It's gonna lead you towards disappointments. It's not gonna truly satisfy you. But when you walk in the ways of God, you'll find true satisfaction. You'll find fellowship. You'll find joy in your life. And you'll find that you're able to grow and grow and grow and build your life upon his firm foundation. You see, our God is God who blesses us. Our God is a God who gives us everything that we need. Our God is a God who always comes through for us. And we give thanks to God for that. Amen. He is a God who comes through for us. When we're obedient to him, he is able to give us abundantly, exceedingly above what you can imagine, what you can think of, what you can ask for. This is our God. And that's why we're here, to worship him, glorify him, yeah, to say, yes, Lord, you are my Lord, my King, my Savior, and I'm here to serve you and you only. Romans chapter 12, verse 1 to 2. And therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, brethren, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living and holy sacrifice acceptable to God, which is your spiritual service to worship. And do not be conformed to the world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, so that you may prove the will of God, which is good and acceptable and perfect. Amen. Glory to God. Galatians chapter 2, verse 20. I am crucified with Christ. I have been crucified with Christ, and this no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, well, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself up for me. Amen. Who gave himself up for you? Jesus Christ, our Lord, our Savior. He gave himself up for us. He gave up his divinity. He gave up his power in heaven, his glory, and he gave it to us so that we may have eternal life in him, so that we may walk in his ways, and so that we may be saved by him from sin, from eternal separation from God. That's why we always come to him, glorify him, praise him, because he is the one. He's the one that saves us. It is our God, Jesus Christ. So, Galatians 2:20 is saying, I'm crucified with him. My sin is crucified with him. No longer does it have hold on me. No longer do I have to die that death that Jesus died. Because he has saved me. He's done the hardest thing for us, which was to live a perfect and sinless life, which none of us can do so. For all have sinned, we all sinned and fallen short. But he did not sin. Jesus did not sin. Jesus is perfect. Perfect in all of his ways. And we give glory to him. Amen. He kept his promises. He kept his will. He was faithful to the very end. And he came through for us, dying on that cross for us. That cross. And we were crucified with him. Not literally, but spiritually, we were crucified, our sin, with him. And then he was buried for 3 days. But he did not stay dead, for he's the resurrection and he's the life. So he rose from the dead, defeating sin, defeating death. And now raised in victory. So you too defeat sin and death. You too are raised in victory. You too walk in his ways each and every day. Have Jesus every day. Still go from Jesus to Jesus. And when you go from Jesus to Jesus, you go from victory to victory in every season. Not victory to defeat. Not victory to shame. No, you go from victory to victory, from glory to glory, from strength to strength, from peace to peace, from life to life. You go in Christ, praising him all the days of your life, because you're living in victory and not in darkness. You're living in his marvelous light. Amen. Amen. Woo. God is good. Philippians chapter 3, verse 7 to 8. It says, for whatever these things were gained to me, whatever things were gained to me, those things I have counted as loss, but for the sake of Christ. More than that, I count all the things to be lost in the view of the surpassing value and knowing Jesus Christ, my Lord, my Savior, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and counted them but rubbish, so that I may gain Christ. You gain Christ. To live is Christ. To die is gain. We gain so much more when we walk in the ways of God. We gain so much more when we reject our fleshly desires. We gain so much more when we obey Him. We gain so much more. I love you. You? I love you. Want the panda? Oh, little toy. Yeah. This is. Anyways, God is so good. He's so wonderful. This is a gift from God. This is a gift from God. And He's given me far more than I can imagine. Far more than I can ask for. And I give praise to God for everything that I have. So, all that I have, my time, my energy, my resources, my finance, that is all God. Amen. And so, God is good. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 23, it says, Now may God of peace Himself sanctify you entirely, completely sanctify you, make you holy, make you righteous. And may your spirit and your soul and body be preserved and completed without blame at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. You see, Jesus, He is coming. One day, every knee will bow, every tongue will confess that He is Lord. Jesus is Lord, yeah. He is Lord, He is our King. He is our Savior, yeah. He's so good, right? Yeah, yeah. We raise our hand for Jesus. We love Jesus, for He is our King. He is so good, amen. Praise the Lord. Yeah, He's looking straight at you guys. He's looking straight at us, amen. So we are being sanctified. The very peace of God is given to us. He's given us great gifts already. He's going to come through for us. He's given us Jesus, our Lord, our Savior. I know He needs to change diapers soon, but we'll do that after the live stream. After. So I got to speed it up. Speed it up. Blessed are those who keep His testimonies and that seek Him with all His heart. Amen. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. Submit in all His ways, and He will make your path straight. Amen. And then, praise the Lord. So some of the application questions. There's four questions. It's so good to have these questions. What drastic steps do you need to take to destroy the idols in your life? Well, some idols. Oh, he's looking at me. He's like, what idols do you have? Idols like gaming. Idols like, I don't know. Back in the days, I would just follow in my ways. I'd be like, ball for life, gamer for life. I'd be like, I'll just binge watch my life away, scroll my life away. What steps? You gotta write it down and say, Lord, you gotta first pray. I pray, Lord God, rid me of the things that are distracting me, taking away from your will. Let me be focused and be diligent in following you all the days of my life. I need to destroy the idols of pride, the idols of thinking too much of myself. I need to give God all the glory, for He is good. Amen. All right, we got this pacifier. You want to be pacified? No. Okay. It's okay. All right. So, drastic steps. Some people, they need to take drastic steps in their life. They need to really get rid of those evil things that are holding them down. Those drugs, those substances, those alcohol, the things that they hold on to that satisfied them in the past. They need to get rid of. Oh, it depends. And then how can you devote your life wholly to God? How can you devote your life wholly to God? You devote it. It's commitment. You gotta be consistent. You gotta be consistent with God. You gotta be committed to Him each and every day. Getting to know Him every day. Meditate on His Word every day, day and night. Memorize it. Meditate on it. And allow God to transform your heart, to be made more righteous and holy. But you gotta accept Jesus as your Lord and Savior. Walk in His ways. Obey Him. Obey His commandments. And love Him with all your heart, with all your soul. Amen. Samuel said, do you think idols and addictions and vices are like pacifiers? Well, it could be like a pacifier. Yeah. I don't think baby needs a pacifier, but, you know, it's an option. I try my best not to give it to him. But other people can give it to him, but I say he doesn't need it. He didn't need a passy. He doesn't need it. He just needs to be comforted. He just needs to be given the word of God. Given the food that he needs. Given rest that he needs. And then given that soothing comfort, knowing he's not alone. Maybe the play. Whatever it is, he's either hungry, he's tired, he has poo-poo or pee-pee in his underwear. Whatever it is. You see, as a father, I want to meet his needs. But of course, as we're here, we can't be changing diapers in front of live stream. I actually changed it beforehand. And so you can hold it a little bit longer and then maybe, yeah, then I'll change it afterwards. I'm like a pro at changing diapers now. All glory to God. So how can you devote your life wholly to God? Read the word of God every day. Pray to him every day. Find a community that loves the Lord. Walk in his ways. Build your life upon his firm foundation. And then he will continue to bless you. I'm a child of God. He's my heavenly father. I'm his child. I'm like his baby. He takes care of me. Gives me everything that I need each and every day. Daily. And so we glorify God for that. Just like this baby, I'm his father. I provide and supply all his needs. Give him more than he asked for. Oh man, he's funny. Woo. God is good. Look how handsome he is. Number three, what commands do you find difficult to obey? That's a good question. Now, a lot of people don't know his commands, so they don't look. They don't know because they don't read the word of God. But you will know his commands when you seek him, when you walk in his ways, when you build your life upon Jesus, when you have a relationship with anyone, you spend time with them, you'll know the commands and the commands of God or what they want. And the command of God, what is the first and greatest commandment? He says himself, to love the Lord your God with all of your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength. This is the first and greatest commandment. And next is like this, love your neighbors as yourself. And so, we gotta love God, love others, but also gotta love yourself too. But do not become lovers of yourself. Do not be like, oh, look at me, look at me. No. You always want to look at God first. Love God first with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your might, with all your mind. The first and greatest commandment. And then, with that love, well, you might think, oh, it's too hard. I can't do that. But you just need to keep looking at him. See that he loved you first. See that he's giving everything up for you first. And then you can replicate what he does and follow after him and take baby steps towards him. Amen. Amen. Yeah. Love God above all else. Above all else. Do not turn to the ways of the world. Do not walk in the ways of the world. Kim says, is it a baby boy or girl? This is a baby boy. His name is Noah. Baby Noah. say, hey, hey, saying hi to everyone. And so, you know, it took me a while to become more like Christ, to be ready to share his word. It took a while. It didn't happen overnight. It did take a while. Just like baby Pan, it's gonna take him a while to grow up. But he grows so fast. So fast. Time passes by so fast. And so we need to seek him today and every day, daily. Amen. God is good. And then what fruits have you seen as a result of obedience to the Lord? This is one fruit, but he's given me so much more than I can ever ask for. He's given me a community, a church to serve at. I've been serving that at that youth group, leading them, teaching them, guiding them, loving them for 3 years. And now we're going to have a young adult ministry launching soon. And we give glory to God, for he is good. Amen. And so we can praise God for all the gifts that he's given us. God is a God who rewards. God is a God who blesses. God is a God who protects. God is the God who gives us all that we need, more than we can imagine. I can do all things through him who strengthens me. Nothing is impossible for him. He is our creator. He is our God. He is our Lord, our Savior. Wallen said the law can be summed up in these two. Yes, glory to God. Jennifer says, look at God above us, Allah. Love me. And Jennifer says, amen. Nini, thanks for the follow. Thanks for the sub. Thanks for the like. Thanks for the subscribe. It really helps the channel. Getting Jesus' name out. All glory to God. Ain't no way, Brown says, amen. To God and Jesus Christ. Amen to Jesus King. Amen. Glory to God. Miss D, hello and welcome. I'm glad you joined us from the Philippines. Very cool. Hallelujah. So we must always remember what God's done for us in the past. What he's done for us on the cross. We must remember and not forget that God is faithful in the past. He's faithful today and forever. He's faithful. So you don't have to be anxious about anything. What good is worrying? How does it add to your life? Nah. You trust to God, in God. If you worry, then you go to God in prayer. You walk in his ways. Rudo says, blessings from South Africa. Glory to God. Amen. God is good. Jesus forever. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. You are truly blessed. Amen. Cecile Riz, hello there. Kensani, hello there. Welcome. Glad you're able to join me. And yes, today I did live stream horizontally, vertically on YouTube. But tomorrow I might just go back to having it horizontally. I did it horizontally on YouTube. Next time I'll do it vertically tomorrow. But yeah, good morning. Hope you guys have a blessed day. So what fruits have you seen as a result of obedience to God? He's given us more than enough. Given us all that we need. Hello. Amen. Hallelujah. Lola. Glory to God. I'm so glad you're here. Yes. So glad that God is speaking, God is working, and that he gives us peace and joy. Linda Galvin says, blessings from San Antonio, Texas. I love it. You know, I lived in Texas, Waco, Texas, for 5 years. Went to Baylor University. Got my degree of film and digital media over there. I started with mechanical engineering the first 2 years. And so, yeah. Here I am, serving the Lord. I got my Master's of Divinity after 5 years of studying in seminary. And so, glory to God. Are you early or late? You know, there's no perfect timing. No perfect timing. I would say this is near the end of the live stream. You're from Oklahoma. Hey, that's so cool. Hey, Oklahoma, I have some cousins living there, and also my niece and nephew lives there. Yeah, is that your baby? Amen. Yes, it's my baby. My baby. 6 weeks old, almost. Right. He got to change his diapers. But let me end with a word of prayer. Word of prayer. Heavenly Father, I thank you for this wonderful day. I thank you for your goodness, for your mercy, for your wonders. And Lord God, I thank you that you were able to allow us to see the fruits of obedience to you, how we have life in you, how we can live our life walking in your ways, Jesus. And Lord Jesus, I pray and I call upon you to come here to bless each and everyone here, to protect them, to grow them, to build them life upon you, to transform them in you. Lord God, I pray that you bring healing upon their lives and that you would give them wisdom, understanding, knowledge, discernment in everything that they do. They would first come to you, O Lord. Thank you, Lord, for listening, for teaching us every day. And we love you so much. We love you. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Glory to God. And this is how you soothe a baby. Anyways, you become woo, good. Amen. God is so good. Rhea, Kia, amen. Yeah, God is good. Yeah, we are here. Anyways, father-son time. God is so good. Hello, Jay. He is cute. He is. He's a blessing. We prayed for a supernatural baby. This baby is a Year of Dragon 2024. Born on June 22nd. He was 8.5 pounds, born at 4:41 a.m. And so, we just give thanks to God. Thanks to God. And we dedicate our baby to God, of course. So that we can walk and teach him in the ways of God. Amen. So I love you guys too. Thank you for joining me. Thank you for being a part of this journey. Thank you for just letting God speak to you. We know this daily live stream. We try to do it every day as God permits. I know I missed 1 or 2 days because there was no internet in the mountains. But I tried really hard. So all glory to God. Woo! All right. Well, God bless you guys. I'll catch you later. Panda out for now. I'll see you next time. God bless. Take care.